I'd like to read in your hearing Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and verses 19 through 21, and Ephesians 4, verses 31 to 32. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I'll read it up there then, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. In Ephesians, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And now the Ephesians passage. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ has forgiven you. The word of God for the people of God. For those of you who are here for the first time, I put a little insert to kind of talk about letting go, part one, so that you kind of see where we were. But today we're going to challenge your thinking with the thought, letting go, part two. There was a teacher in a Christian school, and she told the kids to bring in a sack of potatoes and a plastic bag, each one of them. So when they brought the bags in, she asked if there was anyone that they refused to forgive. She wanted them to write the name on the potato and put it into the plastic bag. Some of their bags were a little heavy. But the exercise was that they had to take it with them for an entire week. So they had to carry it to class, set it at the dinner table, sit it in the car next to them, let it be by the bed when they went to sleep. For one whole week. You could imagine that the potatoes, when they begin to deteriorate, what that was like. But it was clear to them, carrying this thing around, lugging it around with them every day, they thought about what it is to lug around things spiritually. You know, we do that, don't we? Something happens to us and we can't forgive. It's like lugging it around. We start off and it might look something like a little iPad case, but when we finish, it might look like a rollaway. Amen? Because we're holding on to it and we don't want to let it go. One of the things I love to do is I love for people to give testimonies. But before I thought that I would ever ask someone to give a testimony, I thought I would give my own. I thought I would give my own about my own misunderstandings about forgiveness, my own misgivings about forgiveness. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we ask that you would come now and be with me. I'm a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. When I was on embassy duty in Bonn, Germany, I was on post one. Post one, you wear the dress blues. You're the first person that anyone sees when they come into the embassy. You control everything. You control the elevators. You dispatch people. You're looking at monitors. And there was a guy when I got on post, and he was an IT guy just working on something, and I introduced myself to him. He introduced himself to me. I said, I'm Derek. He said, I'm Charles. I said, okay, and I went back to taking post, and you kind of salute anybody that's coming in. You stand at parade rest for 8 hours. You're on your feet, just standing there for 8 hours. The phone rang. I answered it. American Embassy, Bonn, Germany, Corporal Parsons speaking. How can I help you? And my mother answered the phone. Boy, you don't have to be so formal with me. It's me. Mom, how did you get this number? I called your commanding officer. You don't know how to call home? Ma, look, I'm on embassy duty, Mom. I can't talk to you right now. She says, well, anyway, you know, my mom doesn't listen to what you're trying to tell her. She's going to get over what she's going to say. Well, anyway, your cousin is this and your brother's. I said, Ma, I cannot talk to you on post one. I said, look, call me back tonight when I'm at the Marine Security House. I said, please, I cannot talk. Ma, I had to keep interrupting her. Ma, she was just still trying to talk. And I said, talk to you later. Okay, bye. And I hung the phone up. Charles, who was the IT person, said, why were you so short with your mother? And I said, I wasn't short with her. And I said, but you don't know how my mom is. And he said, well, you seem pretty short to me. And my friends, I don't know why I did this, but I told Charles that day probably one of the worst stories I could have shared with Charles about my mom. One of the times that she had, let's say I didn't like her judgment about something. Why did I choose to share that with Charles? I have no idea. And so Charles listened and he said, I know what the problem is. You're the problem. I said, what? How in the world did you get from that I'm the problem? So guess what? I told him another story, worse than the first one. And he listened intently, and he said, I know what the problem is. You're the problem. I got so mad, I said, man, get off my post. Just go. Charles left the post. You know, I thought about what he said to me. He told me I was the problem, but he never told me why I was the problem. So about a week and a half, I saw Charles again, and he came to the post one, and I apologized. I said, Charles, I want to apologize for my immaturity. I said, I'm really sorry about that. And I said, but you never told me why I was the problem. He says, Derek, I want to help you. I said, you want to help me? He said, yeah, but you got to trust me. Do you trust me? You know, young people love a challenge, amen? And I said, yeah, I trust you. I wanted to know my answer. That's what I really wanted to know. He says, you got to promise that you're going to do everything that I tell you to do. I said, I promise. How bad could it be, right? So we agreed. We shook hands. And Charles said, the reason that you're the problem is you can't change your mother. The only person that you can change is yourself. He said, but I noticed something else when you were talking on the phone. I heard your anger and I heard your disappointment. At some point, you're going to have to forgive your mother for everything that she's not. Anybody got any perfect parents? Are there any perfect children? He said, you're going to have to forgive her for everything that she is not. He said, it's like being on the staircase. And he says, the first step on the staircase is the offense. You're hurt by something. You don't deal with it. And then it moves to the next step, which is bitterness. You don't deal with it. It moves to the next step, which is malice. You don't deal with it. It moves to the next step, which is hate. And by the way, your homework is go look up the word hate. You never want to be in a position to hate anyone. And then he says, Derek, the last step is revenge. Where are you on that staircase? I don't know. Sound like Scooby-Doo. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, I think I'm probably bitter. He said, no, I think you're at revenge. I said, no, I would never do anything to hurt my mother. He said, but you're removing your presence from her. It's revenge. In some way, you're getting back at her. And I began to weep. And I said, Charles, what's the radical solution? He said, forgiveness. The radical solution is forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not amnesia. Forgiveness is not pretending that something happened to you didn't happen. It was real, you felt it. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt back. Forgiveness isn't waiting for somebody to apologize to you. It's taking the initiative in my own healing. It's letting go and letting God in. Then he said, the next thing that we need to do is you need to take leave. So I want you to take 10 days leave, go to your command, and take 10 days leave. I did that. He said, the third thing that we need to do is I'm going to teach you my three-method rule of love. What in the world is that? He says, all right, when you go home, I want you to grab your mother, bear hug her, and I want you to kiss your mother on the face and tell her you love her. I said, man, my mom's a ninja. She don't play that, man. I mean, she's not a touchy-feely person. She's going to flip me over. I know it. And he says, Derek, you promised. And then I said, it was a coward's move, but I said, I had never even heard my mother say, I love you. It's not in her. And he quickly rebuked me. He says, it's in her, but it have to be manifest out. You ever make judgments about other people? Anybody? So he says, all right, let's go back over this. You're going to go home. You're going to bear hug your mother. At that time, I weighed about 210 pounds. I used to lift about 4 or 5 hours a day. He said, you can hold her. You hold on to her. You kiss her. Don't let her go. And you tell her that you love her. You do that 3 times. He says, and Derek, God's going to do a miraculous work in your life and in your mother's life. I was like, oh. You could imagine the 8-hour flight going home. You could imagine the walk up to the door. I rang the bell. Do y'all want to know what happened? Anybody? Oh, okay. And so I rang the bell. My mom comes out. It's on now. I walk up to her. I bear hugged her. I said, Mama, I love you. And I kissed her on the side of the face. She started tapping my arm. Okay, let me go now. Let me go now. And I said, Mama, I love you. And I kissed her on the face. She started trembling in my arms. Derek, let me go now. Let me go. And I held on. And I kissed her the third time. I feel it right now. And I said, Mama, I love you. And she collapsed in my arms. And we both wept that day. You know what I found out? My mom's mother had never said I love you to her. I found out that my mother's dad had never said to my mother, I love you. That day, God did a great work in my life and in my mother's life. We never get off the phone or when we see each other without embracing and saying, I love you. But the work first had to begin with me. I had to change. It began with me, not with her. here's the cosmic mystery of this story. I was so blessed on my trip going home and Mom and I having this breakthrough. I go back to the American Embassy in Bonn, Germany, and I just wanted to thank Charles for what happened. And so I went to the IT department, and they said, there's no Charles here. We don't have a Charles here. I said, yes, he was. I said, he was with me on post. They said, no, there's no Charles that exists. So I went to the security office, and I wanted to see the logbooks. And I said, surely he's got to be in there. If he's on post one, he's in the logbook. They said, which days did you say he was there? I said, well, he was there all these days. And we looked at every day, and he was not there. And the gentleman said, Corporal Parson, there is no Charles. Here's what I know. Charles may not have worked for the American Embassy in Bonn, Germany, but surely he was an ambassador for Christ who came to heal me and to set me free. I'm a different person because of the work that Charles did that day in my life. And for some of you, you may not have entertained angels unaware, but Charles loved me enough to tell me the truth. He loved me enough to help me work through my own grief and pain about being unforgiven. Here's what I know. Forgiveness was for me. That's how I was set free. It was for me. And sometimes when we hold on to anger, we're just like those rotten potatoes. We'll start to stink after a while. God wants more for us, my friends. He wants us to let it go and to let Him in. Sometimes we think that we can orchestrate it. We try to get in the middle of God's stuff. We just need to wear forgiveness like a garment and to let it go and be the people that God has called us to be. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Maybe there's somebody in your life that you're frustrated with, that you have struggles with. My friends, maybe it's a family member. Maybe you want to try Charles' three-method rule of love. Reach out to them three times. Let them know. Here's what I want you to do. When you've been hurt, acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the pain. It's real. Don't pretend that it didn't exist. And then number two, I want you to try to see it from the other person's perspective. There's always more than one perspective. When I used to get in trouble with my brothers, my mother said, yeah, there's your truth, his truth, and the real truth about what happened. Amen? We got to sometimes learn to see it from the other person's perspective. And then we need to let it go before it turns into bitterness, malice, hate, and revenge. We got to let go and let God in it. Are you with me? My forgiveness didn't diminish me in any way. It enlarged me. My forgiving my mom changed our lives. Remember what I said. Charles said you have to forgive her for everything that she's not. There are no perfect people. And we can look at our parents and we want them to be perfect. We can look at our children and want them to be perfect. There is no perfect person but Jesus Christ himself. I remember I was complaining one time to my grandmother about my mom about something. I must have been about 15 years old. And my grandmother said, so what is it like to have six children and one handicap? My sister had cerebral palsy. I said, what? She said, so what is it like? I said, I don't know. She says, that's right. You don't know. Cut your mother some slack. Stop being judgmental. Anybody ever been judgmental? Here's what I want you to get. Let it go. Whatever it is that you feel that you've been harboring, let it go and let God in so that God might do a great work, a mighty work in your life. Your joy will return. The joy on the inside. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Show me someone with strength and I'll show you someone with joy. Show me someone without joy and I'll show you someone without strength. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? And we do this because we never know what the person next to us is going through. And so we join together. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, another opportunity to come to you, to take a look at ourselves and to see if there are places where we need to let go of, where we need to let you in. Send each one of us a Charles, an angel to help us, that we might be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you for Providence United Methodist Church. I thank you for the incredible people here. I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for the music ministry. I thank you for the youth, the children, the young adults, and everyone in this place that makes it what it is. Lord, we pray for our sick and shut-in. Be with them right now. Even though they can't be here, they're part of the body of Christ. And so we ask that you would have your way. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.